I can't hear you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Meet the Author on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Denny Griffin, and for the next half hour, I'll be your host. And tonight, my guest is Teresa Burrell. Teresa is the author of The Advocate. Teresa is an attorney in San Diego. She maintained a private law practice for 12 years, which specialized in domestic, criminal, and civil cases. Her work in juvenile court focused on representing abused minors and juvenile delinquents. She has received several awards and special recognition from the San Diego Volunteer Lawyer Program for her countless hours of pro bono work with children and their families. Teresa has also enjoyed a satisfying career as a teacher. She has taught children of all ages with diverse backgrounds and special needs. After creating an after-school program that kept kids off the street, she received a community service award. Now in semi-retirement, she continues to educate groups about social issues impacting children and write novels, many of which are inspired by actual legal cases. Teresa, welcome to Meet the Author.
Thank you, Denny. It's nice to be here.
And let's start out, if we could. I'd like to have you explain to us The Advocate, your novel, and what it's about and how you decided or why you decided to write it.
Well, my novel is a legal suspense novel, mystery. It's you don't know till the end who did it, so in that category, that makes it fall into the mystery category. But it is about a juvenile court attorney, much like I did, much like I practiced in juvenile court. But the main character is not me. But this attorney, Sabra, is looking for her brother, who has been missing for 5 years. And at the same time, she's representing a 9-year-old child who came into the system through a domestic violence case. And the father of that child is doing everything he can to get custody of her. And while Sabra is searching for her brother and trying to protect this child, the two situations collide. And of course, you got all the suspense and crazy things that happen to her along the way.
And you don't know until the end.
Nope, you don't know until the end.
That is, in fact, a mystery. let me ask you this. How long were you involved in writing the manuscript before it was finished and published? Was it a long project?
Actually, it wasn't that long. It took me about 6 months to write it, and then about 12 rewrites. But the first draft went pretty quick, and then I learned along the way actually how to write a book after I'd written it. the process actually was pretty quick.
Now, because of your background and experience, the research end of the book was probably minimal, right? I mean, you knew what you already knew the business, or you knew what you were writing about.
Yeah, I did. I did very little research on this. I did some things. I talked to a policeman friend of mine to get some information about a couple of things, but primarily the information was the storyline had a lot to do with things I had experienced, and so there wasn't a lot of research in that one.
Did you base some of your characters on people you've actually met? I mean, did you create some characters based on people who you've had dealings with or have known or interacted with?
Yes, I did. Actually, the book itself was inspired by a case I was involved in. It is definitely a fictional account of it, but that's where I got the idea. And then there are different characters in the book that I took pieces from people I knew. One of the judges, I combined about 3 or 4 judges and made one. So you get all the funny little quirks and stuff.
Sure.
Sabra's sidekick, Bob, is very much like a friend I worked with in juvenile court. And he likes to say he's almost famous now.
If you had to tell someone who Sabra was like, would you have a specific individual she most closely resembled?
Well, a lot of the things that happened to her are things that happened to me in court, little tidbits and things. So in that respect, it's like me. But she's just a compilation of different people and things. People often say, well, that's you, but it's not me. Sabra is younger and thinner and prettier and smarter and richer. And, you know. So I guess if you can write, you can be anything you want, right?
Absolutely. You create your own realm.
That's right. In fact, I practiced law for 12 years, and I'm in recovery now. But what I did was, instead of going into therapy, I just created a fictional character and acted out through the book.
Now, let me ask you about, not about the book, but about your career. Dealing with children's issues and family court issues and so forth, I'd have to suspect that some of the cases you were involved with may have, regardless of whether you want to or not, you may have been drawn in emotionally. Did that ever happen to you where you really got involved in a case, really passionate, you know, and into it?
It happens. I mean, there's no way to avoid it, really. The attorneys in juvenile court deal with just horrible things day in and day out. And you kind of have to build up a wall. I kind of liken it to the MASH unit, you know, MASH TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with those medical doctors all there and doing these horrible things, I mean, this horrible situation, but they are making jokes and laughing all the time, and that's kind of what we did. We kind of played, you know, to keep your sanity. You have to do that. I had one case I remember where I actually started to cry when I was questioning the young lady. It was a little girl. She was about 6 or 7 years old. And there wasn't a dry eye in the courtroom, so I wasn't the only one. But it was just the things she was saying were just, not that we didn't know them, it was the feelings she was putting forth that really got to us. So it does happen.
I remember there was several years ago when I was in law enforcement, there was the thing what they call a cop humor. And I know that sometimes anybody, I think prosecutors, police officers, workers in the social services, perhaps, or that type of thing. You have to, I think, have a little escape mechanism. You know, if not, you go crazy. And I remember sometimes at various scenes we would talk, and somebody might crack a joke or something. It wasn't disrespect to the situation. It was just you had to do it. I mean, it was like a release, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand that perfectly because, and what's really unfortunate is outsiders don't realize that you have to do that. And so, like you said, they may think it's disrespectful, but if you don't do that, you won't maintain your sanity. You won't be able to stay and keep doing it. You've got to have some kind of release somewhere, and I think, you know, probably all professions do that, that deal with, you know, with really unnerving kind of situations. So, I understand.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think jobs like yours and like law enforcement and so forth, they can be very rewarding at times. I mean, if you rescue? If you help someone out of a bad situation, maybe help someone to change their life around and that type of thing, it's a very rewarding feeling. But there are dark moments as well when you don't succeed and when maybe things don't have the outcome that you would have liked, and you have to be able to balance that emotionally and so forth and deal with all of it.
Definitely. And the bad part is, in those kinds of professions like yours and like mine, there's more dark moments than there are rewarding ones. And so, you know, you just have to find some kind of a balance.
Unfortunately, that is true. Back to your book, as you were writing that, did you have any moments when you had to recreate the scenes, you know, that some of them which were based on actual events? Did you have any difficulties doing it? Did you ever have to write something that you found painful or uncomfortable or anything?
Not too much. Not too much with this book. Actually, the second one, which I've already written, and it'll be out this summer, the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
But that one I had a little more trouble with because I hit a couple of areas that were real difficult. The first one, The Advocate, not so much. I kind of knew, you know, what I had to do with it, and it wasn't too bad.
Your sequel that you mentioned, can you tell us the title of that?
I would if I knew it.
Okay.
Have been playing around with a couple of different things. One I submitted to my publisher, she didn't really like, and so we're working on we've got a couple of them up that we're tossing around now. So.
Okay.
But it will be another SOB story.
Okay.
The SOB is the main character's initial, so on the front of the book it says an SOB legal suspense novel.
Okay. Did you find that, even though the SOB is fictional, as you created her, did you develop some kind of a bond with her? I mean, like, is she real to you?
She's very real to me. She's very real. And I know more about her than the readers do because I know at least what I do, and I think most writers probably do this, but I develop her whole character, even the things that aren't in the book. I mean, I know her political views, and I know her religious views, and then the character starts to take on a life of her own. They all do, but your main character especially starts to take on a life of their own, and sometimes I'm writing and I want her to do something and it's out of character for her and she won't let me. You know, so I have to go a different direction. But so she's definitely real to me.
Back to your upcoming book for a second. You said you encountered some situations that were a little difficult. When those things arose, did you have any particular method of handling them? Did you have to take a break, step away for a day or two and come back, or did you just keep on working through it? Or how did you deal with those types of things?
I tend to work through it. I tend to find if I do that, if I keep going and plug through it, I get more of my emotion into it, and I actually get a better result. At least I think so.
Mm-hmm.
When I go away and come back, I can deal with it, but I don't think I get quite as much oomph to the story, you know, quite as much to the character or to that particular scene, at least. So I work through it.
Yeah, I suppose that's the type of thing. Everybody probably has a little different method, you know, but whatever works for the individual, obviously, is the best way to go. And, you know, as long as you can do it, I know I've talked with some authors, and when they run into difficulties, tough situations for them to write about, some take a break, and I tend to agree with you, though, because some of the ones that I've talked with that have taken breaks never went back. You know, they had a situation, and even after they stepped back, they never could really come up with a solution how they were going to handle it, and the manuscript ended up, you know, partially completed, and it was never finished. And I suppose that's a shame, too. I mean, you know, maybe dealing with it at the time is the way to go. Work it out and keep going.
Works for me, anyway. like you say, we all do it differently, but...
Yes. As far as when you were writing, now, you developed the manuscript in fairly short order, you said about 6 months. Did you have, as a writer, any particular discipline? I know some writers say, well, they force themselves to put in X number of hours per day or per week, or X number of words per week they want to get written, or that type of thing. Did you have any specific goals you set for yourself as far as completing the manuscript, or was it just the natural flow and it's just the way it worked out?
Well, you know, when I wrote the first book, I didn't know if I could write. Mm-hmm. And so I just decided I was going to do it one day, and I sat down and started writing. And I got up, I was still practicing law at the time, so I got up every morning before I went to court, and I wrote every single day. And on weekends, I'd work a little longer because I had, you know, I didn't have to get out there quite as early to do things. But and in 6 months, I had it done. So I didn't have any set time. Now the second book I did quite differently. Actually, I did a little outline, and it helped me in a way. But I did deviate from the outline and ended up, you know, going a little bit in a different direction. But I did have a little more guiding, you know, guidance along the way because of the outline I'd written. And that one actually took me 9 months, but I was already busy working on editing and stuff from the first one, and I'd started my marketing. So I had, my timing was just a little different. But it only took about, it's only taken a couple of rewrites, not 12. So,
right.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, during the process of writing, the advocate writing that manuscript, did you seek out any assistance? Did you, like, join a writer's group or talk with the published authors or that type of thing, or did you just do it on your own?
I did the first one entirely on my own, the first draft. And mm-hmm. then after that, I went to some writers' conferences. I've never worked with a writing group, and for me, I don't think that would work very well because I write it. I get up very early to write, and it just the timing isn't good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do better by myself, working by myself. But I did go to some writers' conferences after I'd written the first one, and I learned so much. And then I went back and I rewrote and, you know, did a lot of editing. Then I went to another writers' conference and I went back and did, you know, rewrote because I was just learning stuff. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the second one I've done, incorporated all those things I learned the first time around when I wrote the first draft. So it's been a lot easier to do.
So you recommend writers' conferences are a worthwhile endeavor?
Absolutely, at least the ones I've been to. And there's one in San Diego that I've gone to, and also another one in Irvine, and they've been wonderful. I mean, it's just been so, I've just gained so much knowledge from them. And it's also the way I got published, because I submitted 20 pages to a publisher at one of the writing's conferences, and she asked for my manuscript.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't even, yeah. I didn't even have to go out and, you know, spend the years that people spend trying to get an agent or get published. So
the query letter route, yes. It's,
painful.
We're going to get into that in a minute. I just wanted to mention something to you. I, in fact, probably would have quit writing a few years ago had it not been for a writer's conference I went to. And I was writing mystery fiction, and as you probably will agree, there's pretty stiff competition in that genre. There's a lot of authors, a lot of books out. And I was kind of treading water, I felt. I was debating whether or not to find another hobby. And I went to a conference and had a long talk with one of the instructors during a break. Well, actually, it was after the conference ended for the day. And she said, with your background, why don't you try writing true crime? And I did, and it changed my whole career around. But had I not gone to that conference, I don't know what I'd be doing now, maybe crocheting or something.
building sandcastles or something.
It turned out to be good. And in fact, we're trying something this year. I don't know how it'll go, but we set up a mystery on the high seas cruise, and it's going to be kind of a floating writers' conference.
Yeah, I saw that. In November?
November 14th to the 21st,
yeah.
Out of L.A., I guess we're leaving.
Yeah, so. I know. I actually would like to go to that, but I have a conflict, so I'm not going to be able to go. So,
well, anyway, I hope it works. If it does, we'll maybe try to make an annual thing out of it, just, you know, something a little different than the traditional conference with the kind of a vacation and conference combination deal. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully it'll be successful.
It looks like a lot of fun.
Now, and the business of writing itself, let me tell you what I did. And I think I made a mistake. And see, I'll get your take on it. When I first started to write, I had a story I wanted to tell. It was about a case I had worked, and it was a very bizarre thing. And I felt people more of an educational thing, and I wanted to get the word out. So I fictionalized it and wrote. And while I was writing, I had never written anything before but reports. So I had no background. I didn't take any classes or anything at that point. I didn't join any groups. I just sat down at the keyboard and started typing. In my mind, for some reason back then, I thought that once the manuscript was done, my work was over. It was done. I sat back on the couch, waited for the phone to ring or the doorbell to ring with agents and or publishers demanding my signature and so forth. So I learned kind of one step at a time. After the manuscript was done, then I said, "Oh, wait a minute! I got to get this edited." As I started, what do I do now? Oh, you got to send query letters, and you got to research, and you got to find out what publishers handle your genre and so forth, and what they want. You know, do they want just a query letter? Do they want some sample chapters? And in my opinion, that the manuscript writing was. I don't want to say tip of the iceberg, but it was by no means the end of the process. It would be middle at best, maybe closer to the beginning. Do you think people like I was then, or maybe anyone listening who's an aspiring author and is thinking about writing a manuscript or maybe is working on their first manuscript, should people like us research the business of writing, do you think, before we tackle the manuscript or in conjunction with it? Or did I do it okay by waiting and learning step by step as I went?
Well, you know, I think most of us go the way you went. Mm-hmm. We learned after the fact. I think it's really important that people know there's way more to the process than writing the book. Because that's just a reality check. There is so much more to it. In fact, writing the manuscript is the easy part. Then you've got, like you said, you've got to get an agent, you've got to get a publisher, you've got to get, then you've got to market. I mean, the publishing houses now are doing very little marketing for us. So, unless you have a big name already, but new authors, they need to do a lot of marketing. And in fact, I get some help from my publisher, and I really appreciate what I do get. Mm-hmm. But I do a lot of stuff on my own, a lot of my own marketing. I set up, bookstores and stuff, especially locally. But speaking of marketing, I'm going on a 50-state tour with The Advocate. I'm advocating across America. And I'm doing that for two reasons. One, to get my book out there, but also I'm doing it in an attempt to at least make a statement to the world that we need to stop child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing both things along the way. I'm speaking at groups about child abuse, and I'm also speaking about my book on the tour and doing, meet and greets and book signings and service organizations, speaking to them and book clubs. And I'm going to hit every state in the United States. That's my goal.
Oh, God, that's a great, certainly a great idea. And now, do you have to set this up for yourself, like make your own, arrangements to speak at different places? Do you have someone do that for you? Or?
Well, there's, like I said, a few of the things are done by my publisher.
Mm-hmm.
She's real excited about the idea. But that's mostly big book festivals and that kind of stuff. So the majority of it will fall on my own shoulders. But I do have a couple of people helping me to get those things set up. And it's just, the organizing it is a nightmare.
Oh, I can imagine. Gee, that's a monumental task, it seems, to 50 states. And how long have you been working on getting this organized?
Well, just a few months, but I've actually already been to Florida and South Carolina. Now I'm going to be in California for a couple months, and then June I'm going to go to Chicago, and I'm going to Michigan, and then I'm going to New England states and New York. And I'm not sure what I'm doing in August, but in September then I'm going to Alaska and Washington and Montana and up in the Northwest. So that's kind of what I got scheduled so far. I think I'm probably going to do Texas in August, but I'm not sure. Texas, Oklahoma, Arizona, you know, that area. But that might have to wait till January. I'm not sure.
Well, that certainly sounds exciting. I envy you that you're doing that and have the wherewithal to organize and get this all set up. Because I can imagine it's very time-consuming and... I mean, it's a major effort, I suspect, to put together a 50-state visit.
Yep, and I'm not sure how long it's going to take me, but I'll just keep going until it's done, just like I did the book.
Well, God bless you on that. And as time is rapidly creeping by here, Teresa, could you give us any website information where people, if they want more information about you or the book, can find information or purchase the book?
Yes. My website is www.teresaburrell.com, and that's Teresa with no H, TeresaBurrell, teresaburrell.com. It's also available from my publisher, echelonpress.com. It's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and it should be available in bookstores if it's not there. They can certainly order it. So, it's available on Kindle and eBooks, and at FictionWise. So it's out there in quite a few places.
So it isn't that tough to find, then. It's available in many venues. So
that's right. If you want an autographed copy, if they want an autographed copy, they need to go through my website. But or check my schedule and see where I'm going to be, and come by and see me.
Yes, with your tour coming up here, that certainly is a good idea, and get the book personalized in person.
Exactly.
So, I wanted to. We got a couple of minutes left. I'd like to touch back on marketing for a minute. I'm of the opinion that marketing is kind of an individual thing. And by that, I mean all of us have individual strengths and weaknesses, and it would be tough for me to tell someone that the only way to market is the same way I do it. My particular techniques may not fit someone else's personality. Do you find that to be true? I mean, I'd like to listen to different ideas and see if anything I hear about I could adapt to it. But I don't think that's cast in stone. Do you think marketing to some degree depends on the individual's strengths?
I think it does, but I think there's some basic things you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we like it or not, we have to get on the internet.
Oh yes.
We have to do the social networking, and you just have to, because you're losing a whole market share if you don't. And I think the more you get out there in public, the more people know you, the more you brand. I mean, that's just basic marketing stuff. The faster it's going to move and the more hands it's going to get into. But not everybody wants to do speaking events or is comfortable doing speaking events. I love them, but I love the whole marketing thing. So,
well, that's great.
I like that.
That's certainly a major part of it. Like you said earlier, the publishers say, unless you're one of the big namers, they're not going to be doing all that much. They'll assist you as they can, but... probably the bulk of it's going to be in the author's lap.
Exactly. So you've got to be persistent, and come out of the box a little bit. Because writers are kind of almost by definition, they work alone.
That's right.
So the person that personality has to come out a little bit.
Teresa, we are running out of time. We've got about 5 seconds left. I want to thank you very much for being on. It's really been a pleasure talking with you. And when your sequel is done, if you want to get a hold of me, we'd love to have you back on again.
Sounds great, Denny. I really appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you very much, Teresa. And the best of luck to you, and really good luck with that tour.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Okay, thank you for listening, everyone. And the book, The Advocate, by Teresa Burrell. And thank you for listening, and have a great night. Bye-bye.